Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. It's Jaguars Today here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM. Tony, this is a fun week for us to be out there for the joint practices with the Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And as J.P. Shadrick pointed out, I didn't realize on the broadcast until he talked about it on the game broadcast on Thursday. It is full. So if you have not pre-registered, then there's not room at the end for you. I am sorry to announce. But hopefully you did pre-register, and we're looking for, I wouldn't say sellout because they're not selling tickets, but just banner crowds out there. Should be a lot of fun to see the Bucs come in and play this weekend. How was your weekend, Fat Tony?
I was good. Didn't do a whole heck of a lot.
No?
But it was fun. You know, the first weekend of preseason football, I always joke around about how terrible preseason football is, but I watch a ton of it.
Sure.
And so I watched virtually any that was on when I was anywhere. So I watched a bunch of that, and that was kind of cool to get back into football a little bit. By the time you get into the second halves of these games, you know, especially when it's not the Jaguars playing. I mean, it's bad enough when you're watching the Jags, and it's like, oh my God, can we just get through this last 10 minutes of this game? It's so miserable. It's that much worse when it's not the Jaguars and the team that you're covering. But
we're not studying the guys 71 through 90 on the other rosters out there.
But I keep my eye on a couple guys, you know, around the league. And so, like last night, Jeff Driscoll, it was kind of fun to watch him. You know, the guy that transferred out of the University of Florida now has a chance to play in the NFL with San Francisco. So I watched a lot of him in the second half of the game last night. So watched a ton of preseason football.
Yeah, but you mentioned him. Jacoby Brissett right now is going to open up the season as the backup quarterback, the heartbeat away from starting for the New England Patriots or playing for the New England Patriots behind Jimmy Garoppolo. At least that's the way things stand right now. Our Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day leading off the week is this: other than the Jaguars, what caught your eye from the first weekend of preseason action, whether that's in the division, maybe that's Brock Osweiler not looking like a however many million-dollar man he turned out to be. Dak Prescott looked good with the Dallas Cowboys, didn't he?
Holy cow.
A lot of things we can get into from that angle. As we said, John Oger from Jaguars.com going to join us here coming up in about 5 minutes. What
maybe
you got,
my
Tyler?
Favorite news note from the weekend was Jeff Fisher going to get an extension.
What the hell,
Jeff,
man?
Jeff Fisher, an extension.
And then I saw today, Jeff Fisher downplays talk of extension. I mean,
let's keep
that string of 500 or near 500 seasons going
LA. Right. If I was Jeff Fisher, I would be like, let's not talk about this. You want to give me the extension? That's fine. I don't want anyone talking about my coaching record in the public. I don't need it to be talked about anymore. I'm cool if you want to pay me more money for more years, but this doesn't need to be part of the conversation because I've had two winning seasons in 11 years.
Well, let me give you, this is not from Maurice Jones-Drew, by the way, who's a new color guy for the LA Rams.
Right.
This is a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, who went to the L.A. Rams game, the first since they've returned for the preseason game.
90,000+.
Let me recap the hell of going to the Cowboys-Rams game yesterday. 7 hours in traffic for a 39-mile drive. Hours.
Welcome back, football.
They said the cops turned all the streets by the Coliseum, so there's so getting there was no problem. The last half mile, though, took over 2 hours. The staff there was not trained, so there's no possibility to get food or drink. Kids were walking around. The kids walking around with water were ambivalent, not selling a thing. And then Jerry and Stan Kroenke, according to this person, decided to stay late and pop some bottles, not taking into consideration there would be gunshots in the parking lot and all over the area when they left. If it is South Central LA and it is a death zone, we left the beginning of the fourth quarter when the sun sets because people with common sense leave South Central. Well, everyone had the same thought, and the cops again blocked the street. So, yeah, another 2 hours to get that first half mile out to the freeway. So there you go. The half mile in and out took 4 hours. So appreciate what you've got here at Everbank in Jacksonville. On a Saturday. In the preseason, for goodness sakes. I get it. It was the first one there. It's the Cowboys who are a big national following and all that. And
yeah, I know. I actually cracked up when Gruden, when the opening kickoff went back for a touchdown. Gruden's like, that's how you shut up a home crowd. I was like, it's pretty damn loud. Like, with all the Cowboys fans in that stadium, exactly. They were all screaming their heads off. I was like, that doesn't sound like a crowd that's shutting up. That sounds like a bunch of Cowboys fans that are thrilled to see that return.
And then after you waited in traffic for hours, did you guys see the parking rates? How much it cost to park at the stadium?
Like $100, right?
80 minimum to 100.
80 to 100.
100 plus, which is insane.
Yeah. $30 for the Jags, right? I'm right in that, like, Lot J costs like $30.
Somewhere
if you
bought, there,
buy,
yeah.
like, a season pass, it's like $300 for Lot J.
Yeah.
I want to say something like that, right?
Yeah.
I've always found it's been like a 30-20-10, right? You get the 30 right next to the stadium, 20 if you want to walk maybe within a half mile, and then 10 if you want to go anywhere on the outskirts and park in somebody's yard or something. I don't
sure.
know. Or maybe some smaller lots down
and
the
I
road.
And I know there's probably somebody listening that knows where they park for free on game day every day. They just don't want to let anybody
that's
know.
That's fine. Yeah. Good for you, man. Game the system, right? God bless America. All right. Let's take a time out here. We'll welcome in the Ozone. John Osier going to join us from Jaguars.com. We'll hear from Gus Bradley following yesterday's practice, which are now kind of shutting down. It's not out of training camp yet, says Gus, but we're in regular season practice mode with the exception of this Wednesday and Thursday coming up. So very little observation can take place. You'll see warm-ups. You'll see who's actually practicing. But then team drills come in. Out the door goes the media. That's just the way it goes. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. Happy Monday to you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You can't step on that, yet I do every time. One more.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Nice clean one there for Johnny O. John Osier looking what the big cats drug in. Thanks for joining us in studio this morning. How
yeah.
are you?
Here we are.
Good Thanks weekend?
To... Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I was down at the stadium both days, so.
What do you gather from, I mean, when it becomes regular season mode for practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go out there and, you know, you can watch warm-ups. I guess you can see who's participating in practice. Is that
yeah,
the big benefit?
It's... Realistically, you're not seeing a whole lot, and if you do see it, you almost don't want to see it because you really can't report it.
Can't talk about what you see.
It gives you a feel for, okay, I still know what's going on. Okay, there's Marquise. He's dressed. He's really doing all the stuff that you would normally do an individual. So it keeps you around it, seeing them out there every day, but... I'm not going to sit here and say you have a real good heartbeat for what they're doing on Sunday by watching the first 20 minutes of practice. So it's a good way to make sure that you're still keeping track of who's hurt, who's half, who's here, who's not, et cetera, et cetera.
Speaking of Marquise.
And not- there's the locker room. I mean, the
sure.
locker room during the off. I mean, during the regular season, the locker room and being around it and talking to Gus – are really where you get your...
The pulse of what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, the heartbeat of what's going on, so to speak.
Right. Marquise Lee, you mentioned, nice game for him, 4 for 49. And the most important thing, he just looked quick. He didn't look encumbered in any way. The fact
right.
that he even played in that mm-hmm. game, I think, was probably a surprise to some people just because, you know, they brought him along slowly anytime he's had a twinge.
Right.
And it's understandable with his recent track record with
well,
injury.
Sometimes with Marquise, people get... tired of reading and hearing what he has to say about the injury because it's been going on so long that the eyes kind of roll. But he said all along this time that this was really a case where he felt, you know, the best way to describe it is almost a ghost of a twinge of something on the hammy. And they've told him over and over again, if you feel anything, let us know. Don't be a hero. Don't go through, you know, all that stuff. So he was really following protocol and said, hey, I'm feeling something. He said from day one, and it didn't feel anything like it had felt in the past. And people sort of criticized him for saying he wasn't worried about it. Well, he wasn't saying he wasn't bothered by not being out there. He was saying that he really wasn't worried that this was a long-term deal this time. And they shut him down basically purely precautionary. I mean, you think of it, you know, it was a huge story because it was him. If it had been anybody else at that point in time, it would have been, oh, they're being smart.
Sure.
So, and in this case, it certainly appeared when he came back last week and in the game, like what he was saying all along, what the team was saying all along this time was exactly dead on. Let's be smart with this guy. He had a really good off season. Let's make sure we don't screw that up at a time where it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, he did have a really good offseason, and he's been around the organization for a few years. Yep. He knows what he's supposed to be doing, and coming with reps, he's going to have that chemistry grow with Blake Bortles. But on the other hand, you got a young guy like Jalen Ramsey, who they're also trying to be smart with, right? And he's missed five consecutive days. Not all practice days, but he hasn't played any football or been on the field in 5 days. Is this anything Jaguar fans need to be concerned about, or is this the team being smart?
It doesn't feel like anything to be concerned about right now. Now, again, sort of like Beecham, even Beecham right now isn't that much to be concerned about right now if he's back next week and starting the opener and all that. It's something to monitor with a knee that was bothered enough that they didn't work him in the offseason, and I'm talking about Jalen now. It's something to monitor. I don't sense it's a major concern right now.
John Osher here with a 641-1010 if you want to get in. You send him all your questions. Ask him some right here on the air if you'd like with Johnny O, the senior writer from Jaguars.com. Will Beatty came in for a visit. Early reporting indicated the Jags offered him a deal, and he was pondering that. What can you add about what you know or think you know about their level of interest?
What I know from what was said this weekend, it was a little – I don't want to term it like the Greg Hardy situation, but where they brought in a veteran to make sure that they knew about him down the road, was there an implication that, hey, if you're willing, we're willing, something like that, maybe – but it doesn't sound like anything's imminent.
This is what Gus had to say, which you're alluding to this weekend when asked about the workout. And is this an expression of concern with the development, the health of Kelvin Beecham?
No, Beecham had another good day today. He went through 2 days of individual. I know just my quick conversations, they thought he did well again. I can tell with his spirit and where he's at, he feels the progress being made. So now, hopefully it's rapid.
Follow up on Beatty. You don't think a signing is in the near future on him, if I'm looking at that?
No, it was more of a workout. Brought him in to work him out and see where he's at.
All right, so nothing imminent is the way Gus makes it sound.
And I don't know, I don't think Gus said it right then, but he also said during that same press conference, they're down two linemen in Edwards and Wells. So there's a numbers thing there that doesn't necessarily – they're also down Beecham right now.
Sure.
But it's more the fact that they're down linemen with Wells and Edwards not being available. They feel like they might need something there at some point with a number.
Let's say Beecham's not ready for the start of the regular season. Have no idea that if he will be or not, but let's say he's not, and Josh Wells has the broken hand. So Luke Jokel starts. Who's the heartbeat away? Is it Linkenbach? Who's the next man in the rotation?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, as of right now. Now, again, this is over the next 3 weeks. Does something change there, perhaps? But right now, I'd say Linkenbach's heartbeat away there with Shatley at left guard.
And I look, their plan going into this offseason when they put together what they're going to do on the offensive line was Beecham, Jokel on that left side.
Some capacity,
And the move to Linder to center, which they haven't seen on the field officially yet either. But it's they're running out of time to play around with this experiment a little bit. We don't know when Beecham's really going to get back on the field. It's not panic time yet with the plan that they put in place, but they don't know when Beecham's going to get back on the field. And because of the injury to Wells, well, now they can't even work Jokel at left guard, you know, in these preseason games at this point in time. They just don't have anybody they trust enough at left tackle to put out there as opposed to Luke Jokel so that they can get him the work they want to get him at guard so that they can be ready for this plan when they get into the regular season, which I think is part of the frustration. I don't know how much bringing in Will Beatty, you know, helps with that kind of situation for this football team, but they're running out of time. It's just they have this plan. They haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And they may not. We're looking at a situation where they really may not see it till we get to opening day exactly what it's going to look like.
That's yes, possible.
He thinks about it.
I mean, it's not ideal, but certainly they had to have known that going in with an ACL week six of a season. What's going on right now is not unusual with this injury.
Right. And, Tony, I'll go back to what Gus told you and I, and I'm sure he's told
it can be a very sketchy situation right when it's coming back. If you think about it with Sendarek last year, it was sort of the same thing, where you think it can be touch and go. It can be a week or two where you think, and then all of a sudden it's ready. So it's sort of, it can be a very unknown situation. I interrupt you, Mike.
No, it's okay. Yeah, no. I mean, hey, it's just a conversation, man. You know, Gus alluded to basically, we know what Beecham's capable of, is the bottom line. That sure, you want to see him out there, but at a certain point, if he's healthy, they're going to rely on the tape that they see to a large degree, right? And it, clearly, if you put him out there and it doesn't look like it looked on the tape, you're going to have to make a quick switch. But I think they're more concerned with getting him healthy than having him prove that he can play the left tackle position.
Oh, without question. That makes sense. And everybody you talk to, you know, from Dave to other scouts to coaches, they feel like this guy is a player who, if they put him at left tackle, he can play it. They're not worried about that turning into a disaster if they put Beecham at left tackle. And there's really not a whole lot of concern about, can Jokel play guard? I think you would obviously, if the internal plan and gut feeling is that it's going to be Beecham at left tackle and Jokel at left guard, at some point I've got to think you would like to see Jokel at left guard in a preseason game before you rolled him out there for the opener. But if you can't, you can't.
Right, and at the same time, you want to make sure that your main priority is there, which is protect Blaine Gabbert, right, and protect your quarterback, whoever.
Yeah, I'd rather protect Bortles at this point than Gabbert, but I get your point.
Did I say Blaine? Man. He plays a little football this week, and all of a sudden he's back on the Jaguars in my mind. I don't know what the hell just happened right there. I mean, you should interrupt me more often when I do
that. It's like that line from Christmas Vacation, how his kids can fend for themselves.
Which one was it? The what line was that?
The line from Christmas Vacation where they're walking through and talking about the kids, and he said, "Oh, his kids can fend for themselves."
I don't remember that line.
I'm sure somebody out there gets the reference.
Yeah, I guess they do, but it won't be me, unfortunately. All right, there you go. Off to a rousing start today on Jaguars Today. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll check in with both coming up. John Osier's in the house. The question of the day is, what caught your eye from the preseason week one other than the Jags as you looked around the National Football League? You can tweet us at MD_1010XL. At 1010XL, Fat Tony, and at John Osier while you're at it. He's going to stick around for a couple more segments here with us. We'll hear more from Gus Bradley as we go along today, and all that's coming up. It's Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars hosted free agent left tackle Will Beatty for a workout Friday, but Gus Bradley said after Sunday's practice, it shouldn't be viewed as a sign that starter Kelvin Beecham is struggling with his knee. Now, Beatty started 63 games, mostly at left tackle, in 6 years with the New York Giants, but missed 2015 with a torn chest muscle. Now, the Jags have the day off today, but Tampa Bay comes into town for practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Practice is open to the public. Now, a lot of people have registered for Wednesday and Thursday's practice, so make sure to check at jaguars.com/training camp practices if there are any tickets available. The first preseason home game at Everbank will be Saturday at 7:30. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is Atlanta Falcons QB Matt Ryan.
This is Marshall Faulk.
This is NFL Hall of Famer Randy White.
And you are listening to 1010XL.
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 92.5 FM.
Boy, it's difficult. The one good thing is we have film, right? We knew how he was when he played at Pittsburgh. And so we have that to rely on. But it's a competition. And we're going to let it play out and see how it goes. And both those guys will probably get guard reps, and we'll see. You know, it's not going to be something that day one, day two. We'll just let it play out and, you know, try different combinations in there and see what works best.
That's Gus Bradley from May 23rd, was that, Tyler?
With you guys.
May 23rd with the Jaguars Today crew, going back a ways, post-draft, and just kind of looking at the pickup of Kelvin Beecham at that time. I still love the idea of the way they structured the contract, if it works out. For the team, it works out for both of them. 4-year, $40 million contract on the other side, the team option there. And it continues to go, and we'll see where it stands. As Gus is giving good feedback about what Kelvin Beecham says he feels right now. And, John, I don't think anybody expect him to be full go at the first day of training camp. So, you know, the question is, again, what's the tipping point? How much time do you need to get ready once you are, quote-unquote, completely healthy?
Yeah, I would be surprised if there's much full stuff from him this week, simply because you're going against another team, and it seems more difficult to protect in that situation. And I would think there would be an inclination to protect as you're coming back. Now, next week, when you have 8 days between the Bucks and the Bengals, that feels like the time that you might ramp up and get started. But it's very much, to hear Gus say it, and it's day-to-day, and if he's ready, he'll go back in. I would just be surprised if it's before week three of preseason.
Correct. 641-1010, we'll get to the phone lines here, and the text line driven by Duval Ford momentarily. Staff has posted the Game of Thrones shame, shame, shame a gif for me. I want to call it a gif because that's what it should be, but it's a gif. And for mentioning Blaine Gabbert's name on the program in the context of he's still on this roster. Yeah, so
we got to protect him. Well, it doesn't matter if he's here or not.
His blind side, right? Particularly the blind side with Blaine Gabbert. You know, I hate the phrase each and every. I don't know if you realize this because it's redundant. Each is every. Every is each. It's the same thing.
Not only that, it's not necessary.
It's like all and each, right? It's the same thing. We get it, right? So a long time ago when Donna was producing with Tony and myself and Brent Martineau, I made a pledge that every time I used that phrase, I would put like 50 cents in her kids' college fund. And I'm a cheapskate, so it quickly broke me of that habit. And I don't use that phrase if I can help it. We need to institute something in honor of my stupidity, Tony. Maybe like a drop and give me 20 kind of thing for Blaine Gabbert. Because it's much more egregious, I think, if you were to mention Blaine in the context of being Blake Bortles.
Yeah,
which I
forget
just did.
When they hired Dave Caldwell, what your thing was, that you thought you were going to keep calling him something.
Oh, it was Campbell.
Dave Campbell.
I'm pretty sure it was Dave Campbell. I was just going to call. I called him that for 3 days nonstop, and then all of a sudden I stopped doing it. Yes, it was pretty sure it was Dave Campbell. It's like Negan said, if you watched the Walking Dead marathon last night, he said, first one's free. I understand. It's an emotional time, okay? First one's free. So I got that out of the way. Drop and give me 20. That's what I'm putting on the table, you know, short of a serious cash infusion into somebody else's college fund. Tyler didn't have any kids, so I don't have to worry about that he knows of, right?
That I know of, right.
All right, good. That, as the old saying goes, 641-1010. John the Baptist has not checked in a while. We love the historical biblical figures on this program, and they love us as well. John the Baptist currently hanging out in San Marco. What's up, John? How are you?
Man, all is well, man. How about you?
Great. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Man, I just want to give props, man, to Shot Khan, Gus Bradley, and also Dave Caldwell for just being patient, putting together this team and what we have right now. Truth be told, I really think that we are going to make an impact this season. And I know, like, for the past couple of seasons, like, I've been very optimistic, but now I can start to see, you know, the fruit on the field in terms of planning, the personnel, like, all of that. Like, big ups to the Jaguars.
Well, there you go. All right. We'll pass those ups along, John, and we hope your enthusiasm is warranted as the season goes along. And it's funny. I think the Jags are getting some, you know, definitely some national buzz, John, whether they'll be the consensus pick. I think it'll still be the Houston Texans,
sure.
But you know, one weekend, just gathering impressions, it's tough to tell with the Colts because
right.
the main keys on offense didn't play.
Yeah, until
their
Luck
game.
Plays, they're not the Colts.
Right.
Obviously.
So they have Luck, they have Frank Gore, and so different look. Tennessee wants to play smash mouth. Mm-hmm. They want to run the football. Well, their first return looks like they're going to have some success running the football if this weekend was any indication. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry both look good. Meanwhile, the Texans defense not so hot, and Brock Osweiler just
right,
you know, so who knows the way this season's gonna play out. Everybody thinks they've got it pegged right from the start, and there's usually some surprises in the narrative.
Well, and I know we're 4 days removed from the Jaguars preseason game, but to me the most impressive important thing was the start, not just that they had a good fast start, but that they seemed to dictate and do what they wanted to do and do things that they haven't always done, meaning they were able to run outside zone. They looked like they wanted to do that and did it. They looked like they knew And obviously they went to Allen Robinson a lot last year, but they knew the plays they wanted to run to A-Rob. They got the play to Hearns fast with that. They got the play to Julius that they wanted. It didn't work. But I think when offenses first start coming together, they have some things they can do. They have some talent. They have some things they can do, and they're trying to discover themselves. This looked like a team the other night that looked like it knew what it was doing offensively. Even last year, it didn't always look that way. They would have some big games, some big stats, but this looked like a team that knew what its identity was going to be.
Right, last year had a little bit of a backyard feel to it at times,
yeah,
with the passing game. And
they had tempo the other night. It was fast. It looked like an offense that was confident in what it was doing. And I'm not sure that it ever quite looked that way last. I think last year when it had success, everybody was like, look at that. Oh,
right.
Good. And then on Thursday, and it's just preseason, I get it, but two drives, and they looked like they knew what they wanted to do and were able to execute what they wanted to do. And I think that's a little bit of a different thing than what they had last year, something you can start hanging your hat on as you go forward.
It's just semantics, but I think the play to Julius Thomas did work. He just dropped the ball. I mean, the play itself.
Bad pass, too.
It should have been a touchdown. The play worked. The execution of it may not have. But you know what I mean?
If Blake
puts it right on him or Julius makes a catch on a low ball, it's a touchdown either way.
And I think what Gus said on Saturday when he was talking about it made a lot of sense. They both saw it. They both knew they needed to get to a play, and they just got there a touch off. It was a slight timing issue. Well, they're getting better at that. A red zone timing and seeing things that you need to get to and adjust to, that's what the red zone's all about. So it's getting closer, and there was a case where they're not quite there with communication. But a lot of times that smoothness in the red zone it's going to start getting there and improving, but it can also take more time than what this bunch has had together. I think you're going to see a lot more efficiency and that play starting to work more and more and more.
Yeah, you saw Blake double clutch on that throw, and I think he expected Julius to break that route off earlier than he did, and by the time Julius turned around, the timing was a little bit off for Blake. It's still a catch that Julius will tell you
absolutely
he should make, but Blake will tell you, I need to make a better throw,
and
we need to be on the same page.
But you would think after, the more they work together, the less you're going to see that.
It'll get easier between those two. And look, I think when you look back at what they did on Thursday night, the Jets aren't running anything on defense.
Correct.
It's very vanilla. And for people who want to say, I'm not going to take anything out of a preseason game, that's fine.
Sure.
I think what I take out of preseason game number one is a team that has been stressing these things throughout the offseason accomplished everything they set out to accomplish the first time they got put out on the field. Now, does that mean that they're going to the second time or 10th time or 11th? No. But we only have that to judge it off of.
Right. Every two possessions.
Right. We only have this game to judge it off of right now. And for a team who said, we want to start fast, we want to get off the field on third down. Well, against the New York Jets, they started fast and they got off the field on third down.
Right.
And it's not something that they've been doing. So it's a positive sign in all the directions they want it to go in.
Well, and obviously the fact that they were able to run the ball and do so in a manner that they wanted to do, it really doesn't count running until the regular season, obviously. But, boy, if they hadn't done it, we would all be sitting here going, well, there goes the same old running game. So,
sure,
two series.
Right.
They
you'd rather see something positive than not. And it doesn't mean it will definitely translate. But you're right. If you can't succeed against kind of a vanilla defense in that circumstance, then you start to question, why is that the case?
It's sure better than the alternative.
I agree with you 100%. So we'll also look at some areas where they need to improve based on their performance from the first preseason game going into the Tampa Bay Bucs week. They'll be practicing in 2 days with the Bucs Wednesday and Thursday. John Osher is going to stick around. We've got this date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL coming up, and then we'll take a look at some of these areas where we want to see a step in the right direction in preseason game number two. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
And now, This date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, we talk about the Chicago All-Star Games all the time, right?
Uh-huh.
Which are the defending NFL champs taking on a group of collegiate All-Stars. The amazing thing is how close they played these to the beginning of the season, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing. Could you imagine today playing an unnecessary exhibition as the world championship team against some collegiate guys trying to make their name against you and those college guys then having to go out there and play their season as well?
The idea of an NFL team playing a college all-star team is ridiculous at any time of the year, but the idea of a colleges allowing their best players to just go off right now, right? On August 15th and say, yeah, take on some NFL team.
They'd probably practice for a couple weeks together,
beyond
right?
Absurd.
Crazy.
There's no way they'd ever
Well, they were the drafted players, though, right?
I have no idea.
I think they were.
Oh, so they were guys coming into the NFL that
I haven't
were
read about
the,
in a long
the
time.
Best of the rookie class kind of thing?
That's what I recall. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that.
So it's NFL teams letting the
which
guys
is equally
still drafted.
Either way.
Can you imagine that now?
In 1952, the 19th NFL Chicago All-Star Game, the L.A. Rams beat the All-Stars 10-7. That was a thriller for sure. 1958. The collegiate All-Stars beat the Lions 35-19.
Oh.
That's got to be embarrassing.
That's why they haven't won anything since.
The Bears beat the Giants on this date in 1960 as part of the NFL Expo. That one was played in Toronto. Have you ever heard of Patricia Palinkas? Either one of you? Patricia Palinkas.
No.
Anything? She was the first woman pro football player in a predominantly men's league in the United States. Played for the Orlando Panthers in the Atlantic Coast Football League. Any guess to Patricia Palinkas' position?
Left guard.
No, sir.
Kicker?
Holder. She was the holder for her husband, who was the kicker, and her husband suffered an injury, dropping his range. Keep on, this is 1970. This is not 1932. His range fell from 40 yards on field goals to 25. And so he got the boot, and she just didn't want to hang around and hold for some other kicker after a while.
Interesting note involving Patricia. On her first play, she was attacked by Jets defensive lineman Wally Florence, who admittedly attempted to, quote, break her neck.
Yes, because she was, embarrassing their great hallowed sport of football. So there you have it. Famous birthdays for the state. 1945, Gene Upshaw has now since passed, but Gene Upshaw was quite the accomplished guy. 7-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first team All-Pro, Hall of Fame inductee in 1987 after being the first selection of the Raiders in 1967, 17th overall. The only player in NFL history, by the way, to reach the Super Bowl in three different decades with the same team, played his entire 15-year career with the Raiders. He was the longtime NFL PA head as well. Gene Upshaw, born in the state in 1945. Gary Kubiak, born in the state in 1961. He's 55 years old. Yancey Thigpen, former hated Steeler and Titan, turns 47 today, born in 1969, 2-time Pro Bowler. Eric Sleeping with Bieniemy may have been the best Chris Berman nickname of all time, and he's been a running backs coach for a long time since his playing career. 9 years in the league, he's 47 years old, and former Jaguar linebacker JT Thomas turns 28 years old today. That is this date in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, conveniently located on Gate Parkway here in Jacksonville. If you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com. to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Philadelphia Eagles quarterback and number 2 overall pick Carson Wentz could miss the rest of the preseason after suffering a fractured rib during the Eagles preseason opener. Wentz is hopeful to be back for the fourth and final game of the preseason slate, but acknowledges that he won't return until the team doctors clear him for contact. He said if it was up to him, he'd be back on the practice field today. Baltimore Ravens linebacker Terrell Suggs was activated off the PUP list on Monday. He participated in practice, though head coach John Harbaugh is still taking it slow with the veteran pass rusher. Suggs tore his Achilles in the season opener for the Ravens last year. He will be 34 in October. Buffalo Bills running back Carlos Williams, he of the dad bod, has passed his physical and is finally cleared to rejoin Buffalo Bills practice. Blaine Gabbert did not impress last night for San Francisco while Colin Kaepernick set out the 49ers preseason opener with a tired arm. Head coach Chip Kelly said after the game, quote, "I don't look at it as a leg up. We're just trying to judge them on the opportunities they get in there and go." Based on how inaccurate Gabbert looked last night, it might have actually helped Cap in the starting quarterback race in San Fran not to be on the field. And in New Orleans, first-round draft pick defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins was carted off the practice field today after a goal line rep with an apparent leg injury. There's no update yet on the severity of that leg injury.
Hopefully for their sake he'll be okay, but man, this is the time of year. Every time something pops up, you kind of hold your breath on that. By the way, he said dad bod like it's a bad thing, John.
Yeah.
What do you have some kids, all right. Tony? All right?
Dad all right, you bod. Young punk.
By the way, my Whatever. Dad bod is now, how many pounds, you think? 4 weeks, John. 4 weeks. 28
how
days since I started losing
weekend?
Weight. I did 10 miles on Saturday. Then I played 18 holes and walked 4 miles after that on Sunday. What you got?
I'll give you 31.
What you got?
28.
28 days.
Yeah.
36, baby. 36
great
pounds.
Job.
Great job.
Nice.
Thank you very
That's
much.
That's great job.
Great job. That is great job. By the way, I love skewing SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio's polls because anytime there's a question that it all involves the Jaguars and I retweet it, you don't really get a representative sample necessarily right. of what's happening there. At the time I tweeted this, I want to say the Jags were around 40% in this poll, so they're going to win it anyway. But if you could have all players from one AFC South team on your fantasy roster, who would it be? That poll just closed with 47% voting for the Jags. So basically half the voters voted for the Jags compared to every other three team in the division combined, which makes obvious sense, though, to me. I mean, when you look at who, you know, I guess you can indicate
they were
second.
So fantasy football friendly last year. I mean,
and they figure to be again, although maybe differently distributed. You know what I mean?
Right. It's Hopkins is probably number one in the division. Right, I mean, A-Rob is close.
But the gap is not that big over Allen Robinson, at least the way drafts have gone.
But it's, I mean, I'd rather have Hearns than any number two receiver in the division. It's not even close. And Luck and Bortles are pretty close when it comes to fantasy football in my mind. And the running back position is kind of a wash.
You got Joey's Thomas, you know, and so you got a bunch of guys out there, no question about it. John, let's talk about some things that didn't go perfectly for the Jags. Somebody said on the text line, still big question mark. Secondary still a big question mark. They didn't. Well, you hadn't have Tashaun Gibson.
Yeah, you didn't
have
play
Jalen Ramsey.
Secondary. So.
But is it a concern? And to me, it was it the secondary was more the linebacker core with the busted coverages.
Well, it sure looked like the linebacker core with the two long ones that were down. Sort of the two back to back long ones. My impression is that was Telvin, but. It certainly looked too much like it has looked in the past.
What did you think of Miles Jack's debut?
I thought the second quarter, which is the part that I really watched, is playing the third quarter. By the third quarter of a preseason game, I'm watching when I can, and the rest of it is sort of frantic trying to get the stories in before we hit the team plane. I thought he looked he looked fast. I know there was one play in the third quarter where it looked like he got beat, sort of not recognizing it, and it's purely just the first reaction I had when I saw it. I haven't talked to a coach about what happened.
Are you talking about the one where Wilson came over and knocked it down in the end zone?
No, it was one sort of in the middle of the field. It was going away from the press box. The receiver was running left. I thought he looked fast. I thought he looked like he's looked so far in camp, like a player who, It's different playing his position than playing defensive end where Fowler is or playing where Ramsey is, in the sense that those two positions you can go out and tell a guy, go do this, don't worry about anything else. Jack is trying to learn how to call the defense, and he's trying to learn the defense, and I think once he does, he will be fine. That was the impression I had watching him, is that, boy, this guy has some flash. And when he figures it out, it's going to be good.
Right. There are physical things that were evident, but at the same time, he had struggles. And
right. Which I think is what they sort of expect at that position. That's why he's where he is on the, quote, depth chart. It's why he's working where he is in practice.
And not only at that position, but just when you miss that much time in the offseason to come in and take on this load. I had another question. Question for Osier. This one from Ian on the text line. Driven by Duval Ford. Boring punter question. Nortman looked better at pinning the ball inside the 10-yard line. Do you think he's an upgrade over the banger? Before you answer, here's what Gus had to say on Brad Nortman and if he changes the way the team can do punt coverage.
You know, those situations where, you know, we went in the game against the Jets and said if there was a fourth and one on the other side of the 50, we would punt the ball. We want to see him place it inside the 20 and just see how his accuracy. And I was impressed by him. So I think as far as a directional punter, the team trusts where he, you know, where we're trying to go, he'll get it there. So I think the team is feeling that more and more with him.
I think that probably the complaint with every punter, if there's a complaint in any, city around the league, is that they don't kick them. You know, when you want them to bust one, they don't bust it. And when right. you want them to be directional, that's when they kick it through the end zone.
Yeah.
It's probably a common refrain, but we heard it here a lot.
Sure.
With Brian Anger.
I guess Nortman looked better. I mean, it's hard for me to tell a punter in one game. I know that that's what they like about him. I know that if you watched Anger over the years, that was something that happened a lot, kicking it into the end zone, over kicking it. So through a game, it looks like an improvement. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I've done the analytics on this one.
But it does seem like you said, when you listen to the coaches talk about him, I think they, you know, that frustration, I think they're like, hey, when we ask him to do this, this is
right.
what we can expect to be done. And,
sure.
you know, maybe he doesn't have the pure physical ability, you know, to kick it through the
right.
roof like some
yeah,
guys.
I mean, he's looked in practice when I've watched him in situations, he's looked like he has a fine leg to punt in the NFL.
These are first world problems, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not trying to discount it. I just really haven't watched it that much to break down to say, yeah, he's going to give them three more yards in Anger in this situation. They like how he directional punts. They like what he can give them there.
Kickoff coverage, obviously spotty. I know that
yeah.
this is a time to experiment with how you're going to approach the new rule. If the two long returns were any indication, they may approach kicking it as deep as possible
right.
Going forward. But is that just kind of the evaluation phase they're in right now, figuring out what's best for
right.
this team? And knowing that they haven't done any live coverage drills and won't in, you know, where
right.
guys are actually getting hit and tackled to the ground.
And that's the thing. They hadn't worked on it a whole lot in camp so far, and that's a decision on, okay, here's what we're going to focus on. There is the option, once again, the regular season, of just kick it away and I get a touchback, which they feel really good about Myers' ability to do. I also looked at this. In the last 2 years, they were 17th in yards allowed kickoff return both years. This is not a team that historically has problems in this area. I don't see it being a hot button issue as you go forward. I don't think kickoff returns are going to be, I think they're going to be minimized going forward anyway. So you can't have what they had the night on Thursday night, but I don't see any reason to think that that's going to be a thing.
No, and if you watched preseason football this week, it was a league-wide issue.
Right.
I mean, nobody was covering kicks worth a darn all weekend.
Which this
long.
Is the time to work on that, and as you said, Mike, to figure out, is this shorter kick where you try to hang it and pin them, is that something we want to do?
Is it worth the 5 yards you may pick
right.
up to
sure.
give up the occasional extra 40 yards?
I think in late right. games, I don't even think it's an issue. I think late in games, you just kick it as far as you can, and if they get the ball to 25,
right.
that's fine. We're not trying to play around with anybody getting a chance to return it. I do want to go back to Miles Jack for a moment, and you mentioned the fact that, you know, Jalen Ramsey and some of these other guys, they can put on the field and just say, go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Dante, you say, this is what you do. I do think there's some potential. They're doing the right thing with Miles, trying to teach him middle linebacker
mm-hmm.
so he can do that. If they need him in nickel at some point this year, he can come in and do that, kind of fill Puzlesny's role in that kind of way, because I don't know how effective.
Or fill the other role.
Right, but that's the thing, is when we get to the regular season, maybe he's not playing the mic, and they can put him on the field and say, just do this one thing, cover the tight end. And I do think there's the possibility of that happening with Miles Jack, where he's not necessarily playing the mic. When we get to the regular season,
right.
he does become a lot more instinctual, where they say, just go do this. We know you can do everything, but just
right.
go do this.
Yeah, and they haven't really shown that yet, but I'm with you. Here's a guy who can cover. At some point, do you just say, hey, go cover?
Go cover this guy.
What do you mean?
Take that guy. Right.
Okay. I mean, you know, and obviously it's not that simplistic, but that in spirit is something that you would think they'd be doing with Miles Jack at some point. You're still not in a situation where you are game planning yet. So to keep him in the situation where he's learning and in this trying to get it mode makes sense for now. But I also, you, you also get the feeling that by week three of preseason, I would think you may see them start trying to figure out more how they're going to use him in front line. Because I don't see any way in the world that he's not on the field very early in the season in crucial situations. I don't think he's going into the season as a quote-unquote backup.
Reserve, right.
He may not start, but I don't think his play count is going to be three or four a game either.
All right. What do you have coming up at Jaguars.com before the Bucs roll into town?
Tomorrow I'll do a preview what to watch for. There's some questions this week that you want to, I think, really see considering it's more live action. Brandon Linder, Marquise Lee, some things like that that I think different from most practices. There's three situations where they're going up against other teams this week that I think you can see some things that wouldn't normally be in practice. Today on Jaguars.com, I'm going to write about the possibility of three receiver sets. Talking to Allen Hurns this week, when I asked him about the possibility of he, Lee, and Robinson being on the field, the smile was unbelievable. They think that can be a really special lineup, and they think Marquise Lee in that bunch with Hurns in the slot is something they haven't been able to show a whole lot that can be something that, as good as the offense was last year, it can give them a wrinkle they haven't had and a big play wrinkle they haven't had. So, interesting concept going forward.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. And, you know, somebody texted us on Friday, what happened to Rashad Greene? A, it's one preseason
right.
game, you know, where the first teamers basically ran a quarter. But Marquise Lee should be the third guy on this
sure.
team based on the way they've envisioned putting this roster together.
Well, and it's still going to be situational with that. Like, Hurns going into the slot and Lee being outside is something that I see them doing first and second down. Rashad Greene in the slot and Hurns being on the outside, where Rashad is very much a get open 12 yards downfield on a slant. I think that could be the third down package with Julius in there. So,
as well as red zone, too.
Sure.
I think because he gives you a little bit bigger target. And
So I think you're going to see that situation where Hurns is on the field pretty much all the time. A-Rob's on the field pretty much all the time. And then Lee and Green are third guy used in different ways. But they're going to try to use both of those guys because they bring different skills, but they're both important skills.
All right. He is John Osier. You follow him on Twitter, at John Osier, and you read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. And catch him frequently here on Jaguars Today. We'll catch up with you maybe Thursday on the show. We'll be out of practice and get your take on what you saw from the first joint practice between the Bucks and the
Jags. I'm not good enough for you on Wednesday?
You can come by on Wednesday if you want. You won't have seen anything new at that point in time.
Yeah.
Trying to give you a break.
Even if I see something new.
You come by anytime you like.
I don't have much insight for you.
Come by anytime you like, John.
Right,
there he goes. John Osier. Oh, knows. Oh, yeah. By the way, this one, to keep you straight on the text line, this one coming in at 11:07, all caps, oh, knows nothing. Just so that, that'll keep you straight.
Is that from me?
Or
is
that well, that was from me. I texted a lot myself, so this guy didn't know a thing. All right, John Osier, ladies and gentlemen, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. We'll come back and hear a little bit from Gus Bradley following practice yesterday, see how he thinks things are shaping up as they get ready to host the Buccaneers this week. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. I'm always talking to you about it. What a great option Dandy and the Anytime Deli is for lunch. Today, I'm going to talk to you about breakfast. They tell you it's the most important meal of the day, right? I think one of the best-kept secrets in town, Dandy's breakfast sliders. If you haven't tried one yet, I tell you, if you do, you're going to be coming back for more. You get a little two-pack, but it eats big, folks. Two thick sausage patties, each with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun they call a baby brioche. Absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. And the price, it's a perfect price for everybody. $3, you're not going to be able to beat it. It's the best breakfast deal in town. I'm not a big fan of spicy food myself, but this sandwich has just the right amount of kick to kickstart your day. It's their own proprietary flavor, too. So, folks, you'll only find that sausage on a Dandy breakfast slider. Start your day tomorrow morning at your local Kangaroo Express or Circle K. And whether it's breakfast, lunch, snack time, tailgating, anytime, Dandy, Anytime Deli, any variety, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, as we draw closer to the season, Jaguars today is rounding into midseason form here as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Tomorrow, Fat Tony, marks the full show return of one Jeff Logman
right.
to the program.
We'll get to the bottom of this whole back-to-back big plays, whose fault it was.
That's
tomorrow.
Right. We're going to break it down.
We're going to make Logman assign blame.
Yes, and he'll be happy to do that. And Will Logman, let me just ask this, and I ask this kindly of Jeff. First segment, when does he break the seal on the Tyler Shatley talk? Huh? When does that come out?
It doesn't take long.
Logman he loves him some Tyler Shatley, and I'm sure his name will come up at some point tomorrow on the program. But if you've been missing Jeff Logman on a regular basis, you will get him back tomorrow and every Tuesday going forward throughout the 2016 football
also
season.
Also on tomorrow's show, we will have a pair of Jags
Bucks tickets.
Oh, we'll have a pair of them.
And what will we do with those?
I'm trying to think of a fun game we could play.
Are we going to give those away, you're saying?
It's still in development, yeah.
Oh, I thought I had a pair of tickets. No. I'm looking forward to that. I do no. actually have a pair of tickets.
We're just taunting everyone. Listening. We have a pair
we
of tickets.
We have a pair of tickets. No, we'll give away a pair of tickets. Your chance to score a pair of tickets to the Jags Bucks preseason encounter this Saturday.
By the way.
Yes.
Jacksonville, represent on Saturday, please.
Because the rest of the league is doing a really
Holy
poor job, with the exception
cow.
Of the Rams, but they're brand new.
I mean, looking around, watching all these games this weekend, and I actually posted about it on my Facebook page at one point, but between what we saw on Thursday night in New York, the Jets crowd was embarrassingly bad.
Well, we sat there in the fourth quarter like, well, they haven't thinned out. They've been this way the whole game.
And then Friday night, I was watching the Steelers game, so the Pittsburgh opening up their home slate, and nobody's there to watch these games. And I'm like, if Jacksonville ever, it could be the fourth week of the preseason where everyone knows the game means absolutely nothing. If they ever had a crowd that looked like that, everyone would
killed.
Talk about it.
Tarps.
That's
London,
all
London,
the
London,
conversation
London. You're moving
would
to
be.
London. Yeah.
So you can't afford to show up the way that Pittsburgh and the Jets and all these other teams do.
I don't get the sense they will. I mean, look,
show up.
It won't be a packed house because the preseason is never
I mean, it's preseason.
Bad. Right, but they'll represent.
You get to watch kind of a half of football this week. It'll be close to a half.
Yeah, close to a half.
Close to a
That's
half
your
of
opener for your team.
The debut of Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. And then the next
Hopefully.
Week you're on ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, Cincinnati rolls into town, you'll be on ESPN.
Right, your Sunday night football.
Yeah.
Represent.
It's kind of cool.
Could be hopefully the debut of Tashaun Gibson as well as Jalen Ramsey for the Jags.
Listen to John Gruden in 2 weeks talk about how great everything
this
is.
This guy here, this Blake Bortles, I like this guy. This guy, he's going to be a good one, I think. All right, let's get to the Gus, the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars as the Jags practice both Saturday and Sunday, and he met with the media yesterday, and he had some words for a local Olympian to start things off.
I'd like to first of all congratulate Ryan Murphy, 3 gold medals. It's awesome, awesome accomplishment, local guy, and I know a big Jags fan, so congrats to him and the team members. So, but a good practice, right? I really liked about it was I thought our practice intensity was really good yesterday in no pads, and I saw it carry over right from the start today. It was a full padded practice, good situations that we worked on, and really the intensity stayed throughout. So very pleased with our effort. They have a player's day off tomorrow. We mentioned this before, out of 4 days, they're going to have 2 days off, really trying to manage our players and get some good work done at the same time.
All right, so Gus pretty pleased with the intensity and the sharpness of practice over the weekend, it sounds like.
We heard him talking about Will Beatty earlier, so we'll skip ahead a little bit here. And they didn't game plan for the New York Jets on Thursday. They had like a section of practice basically where they talked a little bit about what was coming up in New York, but should be a little bit more this week, especially considering they're going to practice against the Bucks for a couple of days this week. But Gus was asked yesterday how much they will game plan for the Buccaneers coming up on Saturday.
I don't know how much we will. Game plan for them. We'll take another approach that, we want to effort and being physical and carry that over from the first preseason, and that will be the message again. And I think it's great work that we have with them, but we usually use the third preseason game as kind of a mock game schedule and, give them more reports and how we're going to do things. So this will be more of an emphasis on, the physical, the effort, and, being more disciplined.
Oh, look, we kid about like fisticuffs and tempers flaring at these joint practices. They tend to do from time to time around the league because you don't feel like you got to protect the other guys as much as you protect your own teammates. But, look, I don't think we want to see full-blown brawls, Tony, but if you have a week where it gets a little chippy during these practices, the chance to work it out during the game could be an extra reason to really keep your eyes peeled when the Jags and Bucks go at it on Saturday. Speaking of Jags, Jalen Ramsey hasn't practiced for 5 days, noting that a couple of those days they didn't practice. But you had the Thursday night game he didn't play and didn't practice over the course of the weekend. And Gus weighed in on his practice schedule.
And talking to him today, he said he feels better than he ever has. So we're just trying to get his pre-practice warm-up down. How many days to go? What, you know, how does he feel after certain days off? How many, you know, a couple days in practice? How do he feel? So I think we're getting a pretty good idea. And once we get into the season, the way the schedule's laid out, I really see it to where, you know, he goes 2 days and then the Friday is a lighter day. It'll really fit in, and we're kind of training him to get ready for that type of a schedule. So he's really adjusted well. I think he feels really good right now.
Time flies. We're already 3 weeks into training camp, basically turning our attention to kind of regular season-like practices out there for the Jags. Again, they welcome in the Buccaneers on Wednesday and Thursday this week, but Gus Bradley was asked after practice yesterday if he feels the team got a lot done in the first 3 weeks of camp.
A lot of emphasis on situations, particularly third down and red zone, and some two-minute as well. So I thought those three areas, we really, you know, whether it was a walkthrough incorporated into practice, more emphasis on those areas, and I thought it was good work for us.
Now, Gus was asked, basically, is camp over now? Have you broken camp? Yeah, not technically, but they are out of the hotel now. Does it really matter?
And look, I go back to a conversation, too, when you hear that comment from Gus Bradley and what they've been focusing on in these 3 weeks really in camp with red zone and goal line and these different things. And I go back to Leon Washington when he joined us. He's obviously interning with the Jaguars right now, but talking about that transition when he was in Seattle, of watching that team go from a team that was just practicing to now we're getting ready for situational football. And you can see that with what the Jags have done this offseason. It's less about installing things, and it's more about these are the situations we have to get better at. These are the situations we have to understand. And I think that's a positive step for this team going forward.
It's more about executing
right.
What you've installed at this point. Chris Ivory, new to the Jags, and Gus Bradley talking about him and what he's best at. Is he better with the gap or zone blocking schemes?
What I can tell you now in practice and what we've seen, he's pretty good with outside zone and inside zone. You know, as many gap schemes, you know, I think we'll wait and see as that preseason goes. I really like TJ. TJ showed me a lot. I think he's a good zone runner, but he had a really good gap scheme run in the game. And I thought he showed great patience and hit it with the right tempo this year compared to last year. It's better.
TJ looked fast.
He did.
Lester, I mean, he looked decisive and fast, and I'm not sure that's something we saw early from him in the season last year. So maybe just a year playing football at the NFL level has really, really helped him. Get ready for year number two. And Gus Bradley also asked about the third-string quarterback, Brandon Allen, and what he saw on tape from him against the Jets.
Pretty good. I mean, to come in, and I thought there was some pressure on him, but he had good poise, made some really good throws. If he did get a sack or got disrupted, he came back and recovered quickly. And I just thought I was really impressed with his poise, and he gave us a chance at the very end, you know, with a shot. So he's been impressive now in training camp. Really smart. Works well with Blake and Chad, and, you know, he's picking up real quick. I think a lot goes to, you know, his time at Arkansas. You know, I think that's helped him.
And a guy they eventually would like to see grow into the primary backup maybe as soon as next year behind Blake Bortles. And then finally from Gus Bradley talking about Aaron Colvin, and will he practice this week, and how important is it to keep him fresh with the looming suspension, how you're handling the reps he gets now, knowing that he's not going to play the first month of the season?
Yeah, we feel like it is. We feel like in preseason it's important. You know, we also know we got to get guys ready, but he's a very talented player and keep him sharp. And, you know, because you're right, he's going to go 4 weeks, so we want to make sure that he gets, you know, reps at certain situations. It might not be so much with the ones, but just on the field reps. You know, we just evaluate him day by day and see where he's at.
All right, there you go, Gus Bradley. Some thoughts following yesterday's practice. Back on the practice field tomorrow, and then joint practices with the Buccaneers on Wednesday and Thursday. And if you haven't signed up for those, they're capped. Don't just show up. You had to go and you know, register for those practices, and they are at capacity, so we're told, for the middle of the week coming up. Coming back with Amanda Borges, sitting down with Chris Ivory for a few minutes yesterday. Also taking a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you what caught your eye from the first weekend of preseason action outside of the Jags game last Thursday. So take your pick from around the course of the National Football League. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter. You got the Jaguars Today Facebook page up and rolling, and we'll go to the text line next as well, which, by the way, the Bengals game, according to the text line, will be on NBC, not on ESPN. I'm sure Gruden will be sitting at home, though, and commenting on how much he likes Blake Bortles. So there you have it. We'll be broadcasting the game on 1010XL Radio, which is really all you need to know.
Sure.
Somebody asked, why would you pay, why would people want to pay full price to watch preseason? I'm not saying you would, but there are a lot of season ticket holders that you're already paying full price.
Yeah.
So what we're saying, if you got tickets to the game, show up, represent, or if you don't want to, well, make sure somebody gets a hold of those tickets and can use them. There are plenty of tickets already sold for the preseason. Why would they want to do it? Well, some people want to go see the Jags whenever it's convenient for them, and they can't afford season tickets, and you know, maybe this is one of the weekends they know this lines up. Whatever the reason, you got to do better than we saw around the National Football League for the most part this weekend. It was pretty brutal, man. And you wonder if there's going to reach a point, Tony, where it becomes such an eyesore and such a thing that they change their policy on this, or does the NFL need to right now? Because they know right now they've got a product that, as much as people love the regular season, they're still willing to show up and buy season tickets and pay for these two horrendous exhibition games, which is what they are.
Right. That's kind of where my thinking was. It's not like Pittsburgh's struggling to sell season tickets.
Right.
They may not be getting people to show up for the two preseason games there, but it's not like the team doesn't already have the money in their pocket for all those empty seats. So I doubt the NFL is going to do anything about it anytime soon.
Monday is brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets or beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. You can even trade your gold for guns. You know where. Wild West Guns and Gold. Visit guns4jax.com. That's guns, the number 4, J-A-X.com. Or stop in and see them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars hosted free agent left tackle Will Beatty for a workout Friday, but Gus Bradley said after Sunday's practice, it shouldn't be viewed as a sign that starter Kelvin Beachum is struggling with his knee. Now, Beatty started 63 games, mostly at left tackle, in 6 years with the New York Giants, but missed 2015 with a torn chest muscle. Now, the Jags have the day off today, but Tampa Bay comes into town for practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Practice is open to the public. Now, a lot of people are registered for Wednesday and Thursday's practice, so make sure to check at jaguars.com/training camp practices if there are any tickets available. The first preseason home game at Everbank will be Saturday at 7:30. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is the quarterback here at Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, rapidly running out of minutes in Jaguars Today this morning. Tomorrow, Jeff Loggeman in with us for the whole show, and every Tuesday going forward throughout football season, back for season three here on Jaguars Today. We're looking forward to that. We'll be out at practice both Wednesday and Thursday, our last chance to broadcast from a camp practice as they break then and take on the Buccaneers on Saturday night. You'll hear pregame coverage, I believe, at 4:30 on Saturday. Same kickoff time.
Sounds right.
For that, Tony, you see the story that the NFL may begin the 2018 season in China, like a real game, a regular season game in China. And apparently the Rams and the 49ers are the teams slated to play over there if it comes to pass. And they'd play it on a Tuesday or a Wednesday prior. And they'd still have the traditional Thursday opener for the Super Bowl champ, presuming that it's not the Rams or the Niners.
Okay.
To do that. But the difficulty is China is 12 hours ahead of the East Coast. So if you play it primetime in China, it's a morning game on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I don't see that happening here. I don't see them playing a morning game on a weekday. The Sunday morning thing, okay. You know, one Sunday you get up a little bit earlier and watch, you know, breakfast with the NFL.
Yeah.
But if they play,
what would you do? Play at like 9 a.m. in China?
That's what they're saying. Maybe they play it in early morning
and it's a kick.
Primetime game here in the United States. I think it's a lot more likely over there. So there you have it. Continuing to export the game of football to all corners of the globe. We wanted to get a little fan feedback today on what your thoughts were on the first weekend of preseason action around the National Football League outside of the Jags, which we discussed at length so far. And we'll do more so with a little film study with Loggeman tomorrow And before we get to that, though, let's hear Amanda Borges, who's down at Jaguar practice this weekend as our embedded Jaguar reporter, and she had a chance to talk with new Jaguar running back Chris Ivory.
Amanda Borges here with Jaguars running back Chris Ivory. Chris, what was it like getting back up to New York?
I mean, it was cool, but, you know, all in all, we just, you know, down there to compete and, you know, try to come out with a victory.
How have you adapted to Jacksonville so far?
I'm adapting. It's, you know, I adjust real easy. So, you know, for the transition here was pretty good. Good staff, good group of guys to be around. Other than that, just still trying to learn the system.
How is that going, learning a new system? Do you feel like you've caught on quickly, or does it take some time?
I think for the most part I caught on pretty quick, but some things are still aren't clicking, but I'm still, you know, trying to get my head into the books and make sure that I have it down.
One of the reasons why they brought you here was to improve the run game. How do you feel like you can do that this season?
Well, all I could do is just trust on the guys in front of me, and just when my number's called, just go out and be a playmaker and try to make things happen.
How's your chemistry with Blake Bortles so far?
It's going good. I'm still adjusting, you know, still adjusting once again. But being with Blake, that he's been around the system or in the system for a few years now, he seems pretty comfortable with the play calls and the calls he's making. And so right now he's trying to, you know, help me out a little bit, you know, with the calls. So.
What have you seen from the other running backs in this group?
I see a bunch of guys, studious guys that are looking to get better, myself as well, and just move forward.
What is it like when a new team comes in here? Like the Buccaneers are going to be here this week. How competitive do you think that's going to get in practice?
I think it'll be pretty competitive, being that you don't know the opponents or the other team's tempo. So, you know, not knowing their tempo, our tempo may be too fast for them, their tempo may be too physical, our tempo may be too physical. So it's just going to be one of those things that we just have to go out and practice the way we know how to practice. And, you know, from both sides, we just have to adjust.
All right, there you go, Chris Ivory. A few minutes with Amanda Borges yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, in the Jaguars locker room following practice. Might have been Saturday, actually. I think that was what that was. So, Tony, again, the question of the day as we turn to Twitter for the fan feedback spotlight, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. What caught Jaguar fans' eyes other than the Jags this opening weekend?
From Irish Jaguar, Gabbert versus Gabbert. Osweiler. From Stoff, it's been a Gabbert-y day. From,
it has.
Stoff, we get the Texans Osweiler is not good, and without Watt, that D is not good. From Dr. Duval, Dak Prescott's solid game against L.A. From New Jags fan, the Titans' run game looks really good. From Justin, Titans seem to have a run game as our run defense on high alert. Are we able to stop them? From Demetrius, Dak Prescott's ownership of the offense as a rookie.
Plenty of notice of Team Mayonnaise in the Facebook listings here. Marshall said Team Mayo can run the ball. Texans still looking for a quarterback, and watching up and coming teams is tough to watch. In other words, probably young teams that don't have it all together right now. Hashtag Jaguars today. More love for Dak Prescott. More Osweiler was underwhelming. Quarterback and offensive line play around the league says Josh has been terrible. A lot of teams with established QBs haven't played them in week one of preseason, though. Maybe because offensive line play is not so great right now. And, you know, you got to balance getting ready for being healthy when it's time to be ready. And we'll end with this one. Dalton said Terrence's Robert Aguayo first round bust selection. So missing the
missed
extra point off the upright. So several other guys getting some love out there. Sterling Shepard, Trevon Boykin backing up Russell Wilson.
They gave him like the rest of the game.
I know.
When Russ came out, Boykin played the entire game after that. So they're obviously trying to groom him to be the backup up there in Seattle. Super talented guy at TCU. So we'll see.
Tavares Jackson's gone, right? After what was the arrest he had this summer? Was it domestic violence?
It was domestic violence. I thought he held a gun on his girlfriend. I thought that's what the story was with him. No, but I think the story, if you watched preseason football, Dak Prescott
looked great.
I mean, what he did. And
he's got a great opportunity to probably play this year, man.
Yeah, granted, he's playing behind that Dallas offensive line. They were opening up just lanes in the run game, too. Dallas's offensive line dominated that football game, at least for the first quarter or so, and Dak Prescott was impressive. I think when you look beyond that, I go to the Tennessee game, and I watched a little bit of that. They look impressive running the ball. San Diego couldn't stop the run last year
True.
Either. And so I think there is a little bit of that, but still, it's impressive.
But as we saw Murray
and Henry do, yeah.
If you set out to establish that you're going to run the ball at will when you want to, and maybe run more than you pass, which would be, you'd probably make you the only team in the league to do that.
Probably.
What more? What did they have? 167 between Murray and Henry in the first half, was it?
Henry looked unstoppable.
Henry is going to be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, he is just so big and so physical. And from the moment he stepped on the field, it was just like he's just running these guys over. He was so impressive in that game. And I joked around last night on Twitter watching the Osweiler's debut in Houston that I'm sure the idea was we're going to pay $18 million to a quarterback in free agency and have him have to continue to play into the second quarter of the preseason game.
Of course.
Because we got nothing going on the offensive side of the ball. So, again, you take everything in the first week of the preseason with a grain of salt. It doesn't mean anything in the end, but there were some positive and some negative things for other teams in the AFC South this weekend.
Yeah, no question. All right. One game, nothing to write the story of the season based on, but you want to show what you're capable, what you think you're capable of. We got excited when the Jags came out with the first team offense and moved the ball right down the field a couple of times. I'm sure Tennessee is excited about their ability at the moment to run the football. We'll see how that all goes. Tomorrow, Jeff Lagerman in studio with us here, so take advantage of the professor. He has popped in the game film and dissected it every angle possible from last Thursday. We'll talk about that. We'll also preview Jags Bucks coming up and thoughts on the season as well. That's tomorrow, however. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor. Thanks to John Osier for sitting in with us for the first hour of the program today. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. As we wrap things up today, just getting one day closer to the start of the regular season. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
You guys have a good day. Peace.